Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right. What was that noise in that corner then? Did you hear it? Did it sound something like someone attacked a goose?
It sounded like something. I was going to ignore it, but now
Callum, what happened? It was outside.
Now you're addressing it. Let's discuss it.
Yeah. Was it a dragon? A dragon's real.
Yes, they are actually.
Not kimono dragons. That's just a fucking.
Well, technically, soup dragons are real, aren't they?
Soup dragons.
What was their song? Soup dragons. Was it? Can you dig it? Was that them? Was that the Mock Turtles? I always get them mixed up. That was the Mock Turtles. What was the soup dragon song?
Soup dragons.
Yeah.
Fuck are you on about?
The band, the Soup Dragons. They had one hit. I'm free. That's it. I always get a mix up. Free. I'm free to do what I want any old time. That's the one. Thank you, producer Joseph.
Who sings that?
The Soup Dragons.
Let's fucking leave them at sing it.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Forgot the iPad.
I'm glad anyway that we've. I've got my phone. We'll use my phone. I'm glad that we've dispensed with the pretense that this podcast is ever looking forward or at the present addressing anything that remotely constitutes news.
Can I just say though? On that note,
yeah.
When I shown you the thumbnail upstairs before,
yeah.
You went, should we talk about Rashford?
You know why, Stephen? And this will be amazing for you to hear this, but I was getting annoyed with people on social media. I know, mate. I know you're like, Jay Motti getting annoyed with someone on social media. I refuse to believe that whatsoever.
I had a run-in with an idiot myself today.
Yeah, I know it's yours. And one thing I like about Stay, right? No matter what you say about him, he doesn't care whether you've got 10 million followers or two, he gives everyone equal amount of vitriol. And I saw yours with someone who was basically saying...
The guy who said, Marcus should have at least... Roll that round your head. So not just double the amount of goals and assists he's got. And now if you're not aware, Marcus has got 27 goals and assists in 38 games.
Right. Pathetic.
And actually per 90, it's probably not far off one in one. Actually, because he usually gets hooked off after the hour when we're twatting someone. He doesn't get that last half hour to rack his goals up.
Yeah.
You might have noticed that. Some people noticed that. I never noticed that. Anyway, so he's got 27 goals and assists in 38 games. And a guy was saying he needs to have at least double that. So you're like, hang on. He should have had 54.
Yeah.
54 goals and assists in 38 games. What?
This is what I mean, mate. And it's like...
Sorry, Jake.
At least. Not even that's like the best we can hope for. That's like the minimum.
Maybe
we can hope
even
for.
60 goals and assists.
54. I saw that. I think that's what might have set me off when I came in the office to speak to you and I was like, I can't be dealing with it. And I've seen some other stuff. Me and you were talking the other day, wasn't it? And it was like people saying, oh, he misses, you know, one in five chances or whatever. He's got 83 for 84 goals for United. So if he scored all his chances, then he'd have 400 goals.
I think Messi's had 113 shots or something this year for 15, 16 goals.
Yeah.
Well, in the league.
Exactly. So it's like, and what was you know, it's just, these daft, me and Joe were talking about in the preview, and it's like, Rashford was trending the other day because Mbappe got an hat trick. Why is he trending because Mbappe gets an hat trick? Because people are using that as a reason to slag off Marcus Rashford. Like, look what Mbappe's doing. Why aren't you doing that? Well, hang on a minute. For starters, Marcus Rashford was joint top scorer in the Champions League when we got knocked out. Secondly, he scored home and away against PSG, who were the best team in our group. Thirdly, he got a hat-trick against Leipzig, who were the other best team in our group. So it's not his fault we're not in the Champions League anymore. And his record
was pocketed by Axel Tuanzebe, who's fucking dishing goals out like you couldn't fucking get them.
It's like, what the fuck are you on about? Why is, like, I'm watching Mbappe score goals thinking Marcus Rashford's rubbish. I don't even get that. I don't understand it.
When did this become a thing where you're not a fan of the club, but you're a fan of a player? Because I was having this conversation, I have a lot of conversations. I think it might have been in here yesterday, where we were saying, like, people, it might have been on the pre-match show yesterday, people will, like, if Haaland goes somewhere, there'll be Haaland fans. Like, there's Messi fans, there's Ronaldo fans. If Mbappe moves, he's going to have fans that follow him to, you know, wherever he goes.
I mean, I know you hate one of these. I played devil's advocate a little bit in the sense that if you've not got a specific affiliation with a team, like me and you, obviously, we didn't have a choice in the matter. We're United fans.
So a bit like what I was doing with the NFL stuff.
Is that what you do?
I don't support teams.
No, you just like a player in your
I don't even like a player. Right. I just like watching people hurt other people, Jay.
You do, actually. That's a very good point. So you get it. If you're not like, you know, a die-in-the-wall or die-hard fan of a club and there's a player that you really like and then he goes to another club and you think, oh, yeah, I'm going to carry on watching there, I can kind of understand it.
I'm saying that. I have been a Green Bay Packers die-hard ultra for about 12 days.
You have, haven't you? You've been pretty hardcore for almost like 12 nights.
Yeah, for like nearly a fortnight.
Fair play to you. You are a card-carrying member of their firm. Well, you're the Joylston branch, aren't you, of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah. Dare's got a comment here. Like, listen, we got well on topic here. Let's get back off topic. He says, what the fuck are you talking about Rashford for? Start talking about the 90s and the 2000s.
Also as well, just before we move off that, it's Peter Kelly says, I felt like Steve a couple of days ago. Oh, you poor lad. I had to educate someone on Twitter who said, other than Luke Shaw has been our player of the year outside Bruno. Right, let's forget about that. Let's talk about the 1991 Cup Winners Cup final before we go down a rabbit hole. I don't want to go down.
Did you call your mate yesterday?
No, I didn't. I need to. Sorry, yeah. We'll talk about that off camera anyway.
People hate it when you do that.
I know. Sorry. yeah, because he messaged me when we did an interview with someone.
Top of your mic, little look at the ear. Your little...
Yeah.
No, look at your finger. See? Yeah. It's not hooked on.
Ah, right. Someone was saying that in the comment. I didn't know what they meant.
Yeah, there you go. Sorted. Hooked on now. I don't think it's on the other side because it's all loose. Is it all the way around?
I don't know. Right, okay. I've been...
Joe says it's fine. It's not fine, Joe. It's fucked.
I've been told. Yeah, he messaged me a few weeks ago and we did an interview anyway. I said to him, well, you need to come on and do one. So we'll
bottom, but the bottom. Right at the bottom. There you go. That one needs hooking on. Oh, he fucked it. He's completely fucked it now.
Do you know what?
He wants to watch an idiot fondle a mic.
I'm sure it was perfectly fine before I started doing any of this that's going to make no difference to this podcast whatsoever other than the 30 seconds you're going to have to watch this idiot, in other words, me, messing about with an insignificant bit
Joe
of string.
Says, not that Joe in there, this Joe here says, seeing as this is the Remember When We Were Mint podcast, and yes it is, what are your three favourite wins besides the trophy wins from 94-99 and 08 teams? So is that our three favourite wins in that season?
What season? Sorry, read that again.
94-99, 08.
94-99 and 08. What are your three favourite wins from those seasons other than the trophy wins?
94 might be Oldham.
94.
That was arms and legs galore.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Great shout. It was at Wembley for that one. I ended up with
and Oldham. And in League Two now.
Mate.
It's gone bad there, hasn't it? And have you ever been to Boundary Park recently?
Not recently. I went a few years ago.
Sad.
Is it?
Yeah.
Has he still got three sides of the ground?
No, they someone spent about £14 and I think they've done a whole other stand.
Right. Put a few crates up and a bit of plasterboard. No, that would be mine. Sorry to be unoriginal, but that was absolutely amazing. 99. I want to say Spurs at home, maybe. Again, I'm not being
it wasn't
very
even
original.
A win, but I really enjoyed the Barcelona games.
Oh, we did it on the Watford preview. We were talking about this, and the three all at Old Trafford, Mark. Even though we at one point I think we were 3-2 up, it was great though. Yeah. And I remember leaving there, I was just feeling a bit of a high, even though we, you know, it was just a great game.
imagine enjoying football that you didn't win.
I know.
Won't happen now. What are you saying, Joe? It says the Arsenal replay. I remember watching the Arsenal first game. Remember Ryan Giggs dribbled it to himself before crossing it to Dwight York and he got ruled out for offside?
Yeah, because the linesman said he didn't realise he was going to make it, didn't he? I remember that. It didn't make any sense, that argument, but yeah, it was horrible.
Meant not.
No. But saying that did us a favour.
Yeah.
Because the game was one of the greatest games ever. 2008.
I'm trying to think of the route. It was the semis.
Barcelona. It was the semis. Didn't you travel across the world?
That's why. Pretty
literally to go and watch that.
I don't remember. Right, here's what I remember. I remember the final whistle.
Yeah.
I remember staying in the ground for about half an hour. I don't know if you did.
No.
I don't remember leaving the ground. As far as I'm not telling the story because people are going to get in trouble. In a nutshell,
go on, just give us the.
Right, okay, I'll give you the broad
give us
strokes.
The PG version.
Right, the broad strokes are: I watched the first leg in a lovely little hamlet called Iraq. Right,
sounds delightful.
You know, in Bajor Air Base. I had a bet with my sergeant. If United was still in the mix, I could go home. We was in the middle of a changeover and. Without getting very political, I didn't have a fucking job to do.
No, okay.
I was just there for being there's sake.
Yeah.
United was still in the fight. And I think, did we play on the Tuesday? I think we played on the Tuesday.
Right, okay.
On the Saturday, I got told, right, you can go. But I wasn't on a flight manifest anywhere. So I kind of had to jib.
Jib? Mate, I've jibbed to Blackburn and places like that and, you know, Villa Park. Not to bloody... From Iraq to Old Trafford, jibbed it.
So I flew through some zones with an assault rifle. And, you know, 1 + 1 = you know, my dad picked me up and we got to Old Trafford for 7:30.
Perfect. Perfect, mate. And worth it as well, to be fair. All that jibbing across, you know.
No, and
two continents or whatever it was.
Is my wife asked that I just went straight to Old Trafford without seeing her? Yeah, a little bit. I'll be real with you. It might come up every now and then in a heated moment.
Mate.
Have I got a toddler at home? Yeah, we'll still be there, won't we, tomorrow? What's the fucking rush?
Quite. Do you know, bizarrely, my favourite game from that season, that was amazing, that Barca game. But I really love the 6-0 against Newcastle because for me that was when Ronaldo kicked on. I know he'd had a good season 2006-2007, but he got his hat trick that game. He scored a free kick and it was like from then on you just felt like we were seeing this from a good player into
obviously legend. Missed a lot of that season through being in that sandy place.
Right. Yeah.
I remember watching the 50th anniversary Munich derby
that was horrible,
on telly
for several reasons, but yeah, well.
But yeah, on telly for it, and a lot of them was. I remember. See, here's the thing is because I'm not remembering being there, I'm remembering watching it on telly.
Well, that's not it's not like you have to be there. You can just
it's a weird experience for me to remember the TV footage versus my own eyes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think did Scholes score that volley against was it Villa? Want that?
2007-2008.
Was it that season? Was that when I was in Afghanistan?
Things like this. It all sort of molds into one for me.
Yeah.
But no, I thought the Newcastle game, I thought there was quite a few games that season where Ronnie steps up.
Really? When he scored 42 goals?
Yeah.
Yeah, one or two.
Where did it though? Because in the semi-final against Barca, he missed a penalty, didn't he, away? And then finally missed his penalty. I think he might have missed one at Upton Park, but other than that, he scored all the others. It's really weird.
He scored 42 goals, let him off.
I know, I'm not criticising him too much, you know what I mean? It didn't really matter. And he did score that header, although Wes Brown put it on a plate for him, didn't he, in the final. Couldn't miss with that cross.
Mate, he was up against Essien. I think I'm winning a header against Essien. Get down, you little bastard.
A bit of that. It was such a good final, actually. It's a lot better than the 99 final.
Yeah.
99 final was terrible.
Juventus for a few reasons as well, because at the time, there was this sort of lore of Italian football. In the 90s, we all watched it on Channel 4. We all fucking wish we were James Richardson. Yeah. We all wanted a Gazzetta dello Sport, pink fucking sports paper.
Well, Macca's does his show based on it, doesn't he? Yeah.
We had, you know, at the time, based on UEFA coefficients, Juventus were the best team in the world. I think they'd been top of UEFA coefficients for like 3 years because they got to like finals and semis and finals and semis. Yeah. And then United didn't win in Italy. Just wasn't a thing at the time. You didn't go to Italy and win. You might get a draw. You ain't fucking winning. Get that out of your head.
No, we had to, historically as well, going back to the, like you said, you know, the Busby era, not great results
and then
in Italy.
The, we go 2-0 down. You're like, it's over, Jay.
Over, mate.
You ain't fucking beating them in their own backyard.
No.
What was it, 20 minutes? 2-0
yeah,
down?
Something like that.
Just. And then Roy Keane gets booked, and you're like... And the only fucking person who felt like he believed was Roy Keane.
Mate, it was just such an amazing night and an amazing performance by Roy Keane as well. Your boy, David Beckham, is often overlooked. To be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be a hipster here, David Beckham was arguably man of the match. To be honest with you, he had such a good game, but Roy Keane was a bit different because it wasn't just his performance, it was the way he got everyone going, do you know what I mean? And he sort of rallied, and he, you know, when he would miss the final as well. But Beckham was unplayable that night. Yap Stam after the first 20 minutes was ridiculously good as well, but Keane just dragged everyone up with him, and it was just, it was a phenomenal performance. And I remember at one point, I think he took out, was it Deschamps, Davids and Zidane, and like one after the other, and like a... In one go. It was just like...
It was madness, that. And it's just I think ridiculous. We've said this a couple of times. You never appreciated... Like, you're watching United in a semi-final, coming back against Juventus. Madness, yeah. For starters.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know, the Champions League final's on the other side of this. And it didn't ever feel too big.
No.
And it didn't ever feel monumental. It was very matter-of-fact. Like... But there was also not the confidence because we'd never previously, like in my lifetime at least, won the Champions League.
No.
So it was, there was a bizarreness about it. There was like, yeah, of course we're just going to fucking just steamroller whoever, but also we've never been here before.
No, I know. It was weird. It was a danger as well that I remember thinking the wheel's going to come off this season because against Juventus at Old Trafford was probably our worst performance that season.
Yeah.
I know we drew.
That was the flat one.
Yeah.
That was the one where we looked human.
Yeah, we did. And I remember...
Like, Inter Milan, we destroyed. And it was only 2-0.
But no, mate. Again, your boy there was just ridiculously good cross. Even I could have scored one of them. No disrespect to Dwight York, but that was a pinpoint accurate cross. He's just bouncing off your dad. But yeah, the Juventus one at home, you thought...
Yeah, we've come up against a true European great.
Yeah,
here,
what's going
and
on
we've
here?
Been found wanting.
Yeah, Giggs, I think it was it last minute I was at that game. I didn't go to the one in Turin. But to get that win, and then that's it, then, isn't it? You don't look back. It's just, miss that. Miss that, mate. It's just unreal, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And it's like, once you get to that final, I always thought if we get to the final, we'll win it.
Bayern Munich, though, innit? The thing is, we'd been found wanting against them. We'd come up against them and was very even with them in the group.
I think over in Munich, we should have won. I thought Schmeichel, and I know I'm not exactly his biggest fan, but it was a rare mistake from him that gave them the equaliser, I think. But no, I know what you mean, but I just felt if we get there, we'll do it. Do you know what? I've got a lot of time for Bayern Munich as well. Their fans were... But decent when it came to Old Trafford. I remember them all singing, "You only sing when you're winning," to us all, because I was an idiot away fans. You know, like obviously.
What, 99?
Yeah, German, obviously, accents. But it was just so funny because it was all like.
They're a weird
timed.
Looking crew.
Yeah. You only sing when you're winning. And it was like all the United fans started applauding. It was like, fair play. But yeah, they were good. But those are like. I put United in the same class as the Barcelona's, the Bayern Munich's, the Juventus's of this world. We are one of the top clubs. And okay, we might not have won a title for 8 years. That doesn't change. But back then, especially. So when you're playing those teams in the group, Barca, Bayern, then Inter, who were, you know, one of Europe's top clubs as well, then Juve, it was like massive games every week. Do you know what I mean? Not, you know, there was no, okay, you had Bromby in the group, but other than that, that was it. Do you know what I mean? There was no like, all right, we've got a game against Grasshoppers this week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
because of the, was there less groups?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think there was fewer teams, weren't there?
Yeah, so I think there might have been less groups. So obviously it was harder because now you see the last two games of the group, the group's dealt with very often.
Yeah,
and you're like, and then play and whoever play, debuts out in Champions League, like,
and it feels very much like you can get a sort of a draw in the knockout that's like a bye almost at times. Yeah. You can go, oh yeah, we get them. Like the scout, I'm not just being better, but the scout said it didn't remember. I think when we got Barca, they got to get Porto or someone. I can't remember who it got, but it was like, oh, they've done one there. There's none of that. If you're in knockout stages, you're facing someone decent. Yeah. Like there's no easy teams now. That's over for
you. It's just with the growth of it, it's just watered it down. Yeah. The fact that there's four English teams in there is a fucking piss take.
Because it was top two then, wasn't it?
It was because we came second.
We were the first team, well, we, you know,
non-champions.
Then we won it.
High five. because it was the Champions League before. Yeah. And it made a lot of sense. The Champions Cup, obviously, prior to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't like the way it grew. And it's only ever going to go on. The genie's out of the bottle. It ain't going back in.
No.
Like that Europa Conference, any fucker who plays top flight football in Europe's getting in Europe soon.
It's heading towards that. I think that's what they want, isn't it? And it is a bit of a shame. But no matter what, nothing can take away those moments. And if you look at 99 as a whole season, in the FA Cup, we had Chelsea, Middlesbrough in the Premier League, the Scousers, we had them. Arsenal, obviously.
Have you seen that game recently, by the way?
Which one?
That Liverpool game.
Which
it was one? On MUTV the other day. Me, Alex and Joe watched it.
The 99 one?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that game.
Probably 30 red cards.
Did it show Phil Thompson at the end on the pitch?
No.
That was my favourite bit of that game.
About 30 red cards, it is.
Yeah.
There wasn't a standing tackle.
What do you think's the roughest game you've ever seen for United? Like, no holes barred,
Arsenal
2-foot.
991.
Arsenal, that. All right, that was different because that was a 21-man brawl.
Not so it wins then.
Do you know what? And talking of that phone call I've got, mate, you mentioned earlier, and Chocky was talking about, he started that and he didn't even get booked.
Mint.
But yeah, that's different because that was literally points deducted and all that. But talking, funny enough, do you remember the Arsenal game when we ended their unbeaten run?
Mm-hmm.
That was unreal, wasn't it? We like battered him. Some of the challenges, and then we got the penalty, one of the softest penalties you'll ever get. And we were booting him all over the gaff. Was it Jose Antonio Reyes, I think, just kicked him everywhere.
Yeah, he got bullied.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That might have finished him in the Prem.
I know. I remember that. I think it was Gary Neville or someone like 2 foot going through him and then moaning at the ref when he got booked. Like, what are you doing?
In that Liverpool game, Roy Keane, I think it might be Jamie Redknapp, he nearly kills him.
Yeah.
And then has the audacity to even speak to the referee afterwards, going, like, just like...
I love that.
What?
I love
what
it.
I mean, what?
I love it, like, you're literally, like, knee-high challenges.
Night.
Yeah, his knees popped out, and you're screaming at the ref in anger that he's, you know, giving you
the
a talking to.
To not even book him?
Yeah.
Like, did he get booked? He might have got booked for that, actually, because that was, like, I think it was above the knee.
This is the thing, I mean, I'm not advocating, you know, those sort of tackles, but that's one thing we're not getting without the crowd. You're not getting that intensity, are you? I know we've had big results and big games and that, but there's nothing better than when you've got...
Can you imagine what it must be like for a player when you just fucking muller someone and you have 70,000 people just go, yes, fucking kill him. Like, it must be fucking mega.
Do you remember?
It must be hard to not do that every tackle.
That's why I love, right? And I'm gutted we sold him, Rafael De Silva. Because, like, do you remember when we got beat up Scousers 3-0? And it was a horrible game. But
when he was trying to fight the whole team.
Yeah. And he went through Gerrard, got the crowd going, and we were singing 20 times constantly. And you'd think we were winning 3-0. And like, even though the game was obviously horrible, but the atmosphere was mint. And it started with that tackle. He flew in, everyone just got up for it. And it just got the whole crowd going. And I always loved Rafa. He proper got it, as they say. Mm. Peter Kelly's asking a good question. Why did we wear our away kit versus Barca at home in 99?
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, mate, you know, I'd put money on you knowing that little bit of trivia. That's your sort of thing.
I've asked that question.
Have you?
Yeah. Ask Martin Edwards. I also.
This is like you texting. Who's it you texted the other day rather than Googling when the next game was?
Oh, Tedden.
Yeah. I'll just ask the chairman. I'll just Google him. I'll just message him and see where he's playing next week.
I also asked Martin Edwards why we had what the reason behind or the thinking behind having the Champions League kit was. And he didn't know.
He didn't know?
No.
It's not very not a micromanaging chairman then. He's just
clearly
like,
yeah.
Not bothered.
It was such a fob. I was like, oh no, it's probably some commercial thing. I mean, yeah, but...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidently. Any more? Like to elaborate?
What a disappointing answer.
Yeah. Dunno.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Thanks for clearing that up.
What's
exclusive.
The point in having your fucking number when this is the bullshit I get asked?
Martin Edwards exclusive. Dunno.
Dunno.
It's an answer.
I think someone asked me that. I saw someone. Like, someone said something about like, which football players' numbers have you got on your phone? Like the weirdest ones.
Yeah,
come on. I got Sheringham and York.
Really?
I have got Solskjaer as well, but he's changed his number since he came to Manchester.
That's it, mate. You're not tempted. Well, were you not tempted? Did you try it?
Right. Yeah. Fuck it. I'll say it. So,
go on.
I asked Rennie. So the first time we had Rennie on.
Yeah.
Fucking years ago.
Yeah.
And I text Ollie in the September before he was appointed in the December.
Yeah.
And I said,
scroll down on MCAL. So get the bring up the other super chats while Steve's telling us.
I said, can I interview you for a United podcast? And then sent him the links to what we've done and stuff like that.
There's one I've missed.
And he said, yeah, okay. And I thought, sweet. And at the time I was like, well, jump a fly out to Norway. Like, how should we hook this up? And then he ghosted me for a bit. And when it was sort of like rumoured that he might be coming, I thought, I've got a cunning plan here.
Go on.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ring up and I'm going to say, I'm Mike from the club. Just checking your travel arrangements.
Such a slippery little clever weasel, isn't he?
And I phoned him and didn't get an answer. And then the number don't work now.
Got it, mate. That's quite crafty. I like that. I'm just confirming your travel arrangements, Mr. Solskjaer, yeah?
Yeah, because if it's not on, he's going to go, what?
What, yeah.
Or he's going to go, yeah, got them all. And he'd be like, ah, it's cool.
Yeah, so we've got you down in a flight, arrives at 12 o'clock Monday. No, what? No, 11 o'clock terminal, what?
Cheers, bud.
Thanks. I'll see you there, literally. Cameron S. in the super chat says, as an American who only just became a proper United fan within the last 6 years, I feel for you there, mate. You picked the wrong time, but I'm glad you did. I enjoy listening to you two telling the story of this great club. Don't worry as well, Cameron. The glory days are returning. Trust me on that one. That's based on, you know, no evidence, but I believe it. Ross Murphy, great to hear from Ross. Big supporter of the channel. It says, one of the games that will stay with me as a United fan was at the Emirates and Ronaldo ran the show. Long-range free kick, counter-attack.
2009.
We had a couple against them, didn't we, where we absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah. But speaking of Rennie about them, Rennie's
That one, you're right, is 2009. That's the Kieran Gibbs one, isn't it? I think then Wenger in his infinite wisdom start Kieran Gibbs might have given his debut against Ronaldo. Do you know what I mean? Almost ended his career in five minutes.
Do you not like me, boss?
Yeah. Got a job for you, son. Hey. Got some great news for you.
That Portuguese fella. Nani.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. The Ballon d'Or. Yeah, that Ballon d'Or winner, you're marking him today.
Right, we've got a note here which says, I've been told to ask you to plug the members podcast talking about our weight loss challenge. It is out now.
So you love notes on that screen, John. I love the way you read them with such enthusiasm as well. We've got a note here. The best one is your weight. Do not read.
Why put it in there? What do you think I'm going to do?
Scroll down, let's have a look at some of the comments.
Gurav says, I used to love this channel when it was full-time Devils. Now to see the channel spend most of the time talking about the past. Listen, fucko, you literally clicked the podcast that says, remember when we were mint. The whole idea of this hour that we do is to talk about the past. Now fuck off to TikTok and subscribe.
Yeah, he's only kidding.
I'm not.
We do appreciate your support. And just so you know, this channel has lots of different things on it. We do the news. We do the updates. We do the watch-alongs. We do the previews. We do the youth review. We cover everything that is involved with Manchester United. Me and Steve do an hour of talking about the 1991 European Cup Winners' Cup final, Steve's rugby career.
Gravy. And whatever else we want to. So shut
this,
up.
You know, if you want...
Like this here.
Yeah.
MB1DD says, hi, Stephen. Any knowledge on the Audenshaw Reservoir and if you are able to visit it or not? Actually, yes. Used to run around it. It's about a mile and a half.
Yeah. I don't think I've been to the Audenshaw Reservoir.
They has got a fence around it.
Yeah.
But you can jib a fence, can't you?
Of course you can.
There you go.
Conor Allen says, Steve's light run burgundy can only read from the teleprompter. Quite true, not. Hey. Oh, we are. What's Kyron Wallace saying there? Why was Vidic the hardest defender to ever walk the earth? miss having a defender who would do anything to stop a goal.
Don't know if it was.
Was he
at Steve Bruce's nose, Jay, and tell me that it wasn't Steve Bruce.
Do you know
how many times did Vidic bleed on the pitch? 3-4
Do you know Ian? Do you know Ian Wright chinned him once down the tunnel?
Steve Bruce.
Yeah, apparently all went off.
My friend was.
I'm not saying that Steve Bruce was not down or anything. He just got a punch off Ian Wright in the tunnel and it all went off.
Did I play at the Willows? I did play at the Willows. And the river of piss that runs around the very fucking bottom row of the terrace as well. Remember
the
that?
River of piss.
I mean, you go, oh, is it? No, I mean,
isn't it's Billy Joel song.
It's actually piss.
It's River of Dreams.
It's actually piss because they're shitters. Oh, it's not even a shitter. It's literally, right? The urinal, I believe they're called in civilized countries.
Can we bring up Joe Swarbrick's super chat, please?
A painted wall with a trough at the bottom. At the Willows. I think it was built in 1911 or something, and then they just left it.
Joe Swarbrick, if you're watching, put it in the chat again. We'll try and find your other super chat, but if not, just put a comment in. Don't find another super chat, and I'll read it out.
Is the water cold? I don't know. I haven't been in the reservoir.
You've not been in the reservoir?
No.
Reminds me of that Morrissey song. What's it? The First of the Gang to Die. What's he saying? You've never been in love until you've seen the sun rise down by the reservoir. Move on. I'm forgetting the words already. And you're looking at me like, what are you quoting Morrissey songs for, you absolute witch? There you go. Said it for you.
What United game from the 80s do I think of the fondest?
Oh, there's a good... You're only a babby, weren't you, in the 80s?
Considering my first game was September 1990.
Do you know my first game?
It's got to be the Barcelona one. It's the only one I've seen.
Well,
it's not the only one I've seen. Some of them Norman Whiteside fucking bangers at Ibury.
Oh, the Whiteside one. Wasn't that 89 the one at the Anfield where he cut Steve McMahon in half?
I've got an idea. Can we turn the heating off?
I know it is roasting in here, isn't it, son?
Go on, reach it. You can get it from there. 24 fucking degrees. What are you playing at? Dream transfer. Fuck off, mate. Would Pants have been removed if United had signed Ronaldinho? I think they would, but in hindsight, wouldn't have got Ronaldo.
I know. It's still. I get that. I get that argument, and it's a very good one. But, oh, here we go. We found Joe Swarbrick. His other super chat. Apologies for missing it. I thought we'd already read it, and it's because it was a similar question to the other one. For me, my three favourite games from 94, 99 and 08 are 3-1 Norwich away, 2-0 Inter at home.
That Norwich away was 93.
And the 2-1 Arsenal win. Oh, Argy's free kick. Yeah, that was a great one.
Fucking great free kick. That, go on, turn the heating off. I'll time you.
Me?
Yeah.
Go on.
Because he's not doing it clearly, is he? I'll read the comments. Favourite member from class of 92? Robbie Savage. No? Not Robbie Savage? Okay. Beckham.
Joe Tate says, stop living in the past. Joe. No. His answer to that, mate. Not going to happen.
Come meet me in the past and fight me.
Yeah.
I'll fuck you back off to the future.
Ross Murphy says, we need Trevor back to talk about the time when he went to games as a United fan. We will get Trevor back on the channel as well. Joe Presbyluski, which is my favourite surname. Best team not to win the league in the 90s, that would be Manchester United in 1998.
1995.
All right, 1995. Yeah, good shout. See, both times, it was that one player, wasn't it? Keno in 98.
And arguably Cantona in 98.
Yeah, you could argue that, actually, good point. And obviously, Eric in 95. So, fine margins.
Tiny.
But you see, when we lost a player, we took it down to the wire. What we didn't do was lose a player and then crumble and then moan about our injuries or our players missing for the rest of the season like some people do from down the M62.
Hull.
Them Hull.
Oh, Leeds.
Oliver Edwards says, favourite member of the class of 1907, obviously Billy Meredith. Next question.
I don't know if Meredith was in the 07 team.
Don't try and spoil it with your knowledge.
I think he joined prior to that. Is it Bucknell?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to Google it.
I was only seven.
I want to say Charlie
Stephen
Bucknell.
Stephen Lancaster says,
right.
What player?
If I've got Charlie Bucknell right, God, I'm
you
going
on. You will have because I know what you like.
I don't know what the fuck I've not. Why that's in my fucking head.
I thought anything around the sort of turn of the century, the first United
league win, I always go with Billy Meredith because it's just the obvious one. I don't want to go on my phone because I'm two people sat on the phones isn't the best.
So I'll just do it.
Jacob O.C. says, best football commentator. I go with Clive Tilsley just for the 99. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's a bit of a shallow pool. There's not a lot of commentators I really have a great fondness for, but I do like... he's more of a pundit though, isn't he?
Okay, well...
Yeah. But the thing with Danny Ingbottom is he's a pundit that does his research.
Yeah.
Like, he's that rare breed that actually doesn't just use bluster and passion, but actually analyses games, teams.
And makes sense. Up,
yeah. Like, you know, he knows about the team that he's commenting on. He doesn't just say things like...
Some awesome insight from him as well.
They need to score more goals and defend better.
Shit like...
British lads. Good British lads.
Sandy Turnbull was who I was thinking of.
See. Let yourself down there. You let me down, yourself down, the channel down, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry.
Your 1907 knowledge is the Achilles heel for this challenge. For this channel.
Sorry. How long before Rooney gets Steve Broussard's 14 month?
I don't know, you know.
No, I do.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I think he's one of them.
He nearly
though.
Did that in pre-season.
He's still, I think now he's probably more focused than he was as a player.
Tedden says, top coach.
Yeah.
Top coach.
Really? That's good. That's good to hear. Is he enjoying it down there from what you spoke to him about?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Because I like Wayne Rooney. And I think it's weird, isn't it, that he doesn't sometimes get the credit he deserves. I think some people still hold on to that flirtation with City and the fact he's a scouser and all that nonsense. But won the lot. Scored more goals than anyone's ever scored for Manchester United. What's not to love? Let's talk about Arsenal games. Could flying in with
Martin
challenges.
Edwards. He doesn't know. We text Martin Edwards and find out why he wore white socks in Europe.
Aditya Gautam says, best signing between 95 and 2000 for us, ? Steele answer this. On behalf of both of us.
Dwight York? Yapstam?
I'd go with...
European Golden Boot or the guy that won three leagues back-to-back and then fucked off?
I'd probably go with Stam.
It's a tough call.
I mean, it is a tough call. I'll give you that. Ethan Jackson says, does Bruno get in the 99 team and start?
Fuck no.
Luke Shaw obviously does. Wink emoji for the Luke Shaw one. He's having a good laugh there, the lad. Does Bruno get in the 99 team? I don't think he does.
No.
Only because the only place for him in that team is probably over Scholes.
No, it'd be Dwight York's spot. Scholes was more of a midfielder than Bruno is. We played 4-4-2.
But I'm saying, yeah. But would you, if you were to accommodate Bruno, then you're saying take York out, put him in.
He's a 10. And really, York was the 10 of that sort of team. Yeah, he did a bit more link up.
I was thinking if you were going to do it, you might drop Keno deeper and put Bruno as like a, you know, do like a diamond.
That midfield would get obliterated.
Would it?
Yeah. Bruno's too far in the final third. Look at Scholes' positioning. It was very much next to Roy Keane. Very much so.
It was.
And then late runs. But Bruno's early runs. Bruno's might as well be a forward.
But there were times when Keno would just be like a one-man fucking machine, wrecking ball in front of that defence.
But he still had a free of midfield next to him. They weren't like...
But look at 99 for the Turin game, for example. Scholes, who was it with Keno? Was it Nicky Butt? So yeah, he's more of a defensive man.
I think Bruno would have gone in instead of York. The more interesting
but then
one would have been
up Cantona, York, can't you?
Yeah, and
you can't do that now. So
the more interesting one is that Bruno would have come in and replaced Cantona for like 93, 94, 95, 96.
Yeah,
because that's exactly.
I think he's in the conversation, Bruno. I think he's one of probably the only player in this current squad who is in that conversation.
Scholes as often, and SS says Jacob only post 2000 when Rude played.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then you're laughing, aren't you? But like you say,
on the 4-3-3 with Veron, this is one of the combos I've had with Rio. And I don't think we've had this on camera.
Educate us, my friend.
He wanted to play 4-4-2. he wanted Veron and Keane to be a two together, and he wanted Scholes to play off Rude.
He did that for one game and two.
He tried.
It was the Ipswich game,
and
I think.
It was Carlos Queiroz that was like,
right,
this ain't gonna fucking work, pal.
Really?
But it was Fergie wanted to basically play 4-4-2 with it.
I don't think I've ever been as excited. Well, that's like, because I was excited when we signed Andy Cole, but that is one of the most exciting times as a United fan was when we signed Ron. Because, like you were saying about Gazzetta, we're in Italian football, and he'd basically won the Scudetto for Lazio.
I can't think who that's like us signing today.
And he was we didn't do that. We didn't go out and buy the best player in the world.
No, we signed Yapstam from fucking where?
Like PSV, wasn't it? Yeah, exactly. We got Ronaldo when he was a child and he wasn't a Ballon d'Or.
Right, he was from Aston Villa.
Yeah. Like, Veron was the best player in Italy who just won Lazio their first title in decades with a team built around him.
I mean, even Rio came from fucking Leeds.
Yeah. And it's like, and we went and got him. And we were, you know, we were one of the best teams in the world at the time. And then we had one of the best players on the planet. And you're like, Wagwan in here.
Beckham, Ronaldo or Beckham in 99? Why have I never seen that conversation? Ronaldo, which year?
Ooh. All right then, yeah. Ronaldo 08 or Beck's 99? Who's the better player? Who's the one, if you had to pick one of them in your team?
It's got to be Ronaldo. Depends what your team needs, yeah, clearly.
That, like, Beckham works in the 99 team perfectly. Like, you would not swap him for Ronaldo because I don't think you would be in that team.
But you also wouldn't put Beckham in the 08 team.
No, you wouldn't.
Because
you
just
Beckham's not going to get you 40. Yeah, he's not going to get you 42 goals. Just as Cristiano Ronaldo, he's not going to put pinpoint accurate crosses on Dwight York's head. He's going to run with the ball.
No,
and
Ronaldo in 99 does not score 42 goals from right wing.
No, he doesn't, because he's right wing as well.
Yeah,
and Fergie's screaming at him, "What are you doing, gallivanting up there? Get back in front of Gary Neville where you belong."
Yeah, well, for starters, yeah, because Beckham did that elite level.
Yeah,
at which, you know, you just did not see. From Ronaldo. Ronaldo was given the license to not defend.
Tell the truth. Did you have a bit of a turn in your eye with the reunion game the other year when Beckham was doing them 70-yard passes?
A tear in my eye?
Yeah.
And my fucking pants off.
Yeah. I was like...
I think I might have said at the time, it's the best right-wing performance I've seen in about 5 years.
I don't think you'd
on this
right.
ground.
It's just like...
And there's a... I don't know if I broke the rules here.
Well, it won't be the first time, will it? Let's have it right.
Something might be coming to your screens very soon about David Beckham. Let's just say that. The amount of work that he put in will be in the thing that might appear on your screens at some point. Like, the effort, that the graft, the pre-season he put himself through for a fucking Legends game just tells you the mentality of this maniac.
He's so good.
He was higher in Loftus Road. Like, give me that stadium.
Just pause the comments a minute. I'll ask Steve about that Peter Jackson comment in a minute.
Let's hire a stadium. He's filling it with like a couple of ex-players and people. David Beckham rings you going down, aren't you?
Yeah.
Let's be real. Filled it with like Brooklyn and a load of his mates, a load of fucking whippersnappers that he's got to run after. But then Beckham would just put himself through 90 minutes of just fucking up and down graft. I would have paid 3 figures for going watching that behind closed doors game.
Do you think in the top 5 players you've ever seen play for United, is he in the top 5?
Yeah. Cantona, Ronaldo, Keane, Beckham.
I'm putting Robbo in there. I know I've got a couple of years on you, and I think that makes a massive difference because of our ages.
Post 90, yeah. On the way.
I just got I got enough of him to know I was seeing something special.
Cantona, Keane, you know, no questions.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, no questions.
There's no point in arguing that. He's the best player Beckham has ever seen.
There is no fucking question. No question whatsoever.
Underrated.
And then it's, do you go with the longevity of Giggs or Scholes? Because that was unreal. The quality of Rio or Stam? Because that was unreal. Or, you know, the Wayne Rooney was a hair under being the best player in the world a few times. It's one of them.
Can't argue.
Rooney, Stam, Rio, Giggs or Scholes.
I mean, you could even, just for the purple patchiness of his time, throw Rude into the mix. Just because of that ridiculous run of goals in that short space of time.
Good, like.
Yeah, quite decent. I reckon he'd probably get at least 10 or 15 goals in the Premier League. Not now, at his current age,
Is he 48?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm glad you picked up on that. I wanted to ask you this, Steve, because you're a bit of a bibliophile. Peter Jackson says, I bought a book.
Luke, that's a great comment and I will answer that.
I bought a book, don't know where, but called Manchester United, The Complete Record to about 2007 by Ender Endler. Anything you want to know?
Oh.
Endler.
Clearly need to learn about the fucking 07 team. 1907.
Yes, there you go. Luke Hosted, what's he saying there? Go on.
Elfatori on the ball. Best on the ball fullback at Paddock. I think, does he mean Elfatori or the best on the ball fullback at Paddock? Right. Fullback at Paddock.
Explain this because some people watching this going, like me.
All right. So, yeah,
what are you talking about?
We've actually got our own non league football team. We are level 14.
Scroll down as well, please, Carl.
And some people are like, what? We're level 14. We're winning the fucking league this year, if they let us.
Right.
If they let us, if Bojo does his job on Monday and says, you can go to the gym and you can play football again, make no mistake, Paddock will be fucking lifting silverware in May or June, depending when the fucking season's due to end, because I don't know when it's going to end. Fullbacks, you're talking Will Hobson, who's upstairs.
I love Will. Most chilled out man in the world, and in this office, that's saying something.
Alphatori was fucking shit, right? Let's have it right. Proper shit. Potentially the worst player I've seen in a United shirt. But he was in a United shirt.
Yeah.
That's got to lend something to it.
Of course it has.
And I'll be real. Fullback's not the most stacked area in our team. Sorry, lads. Probably not a lot in it. I couldn't tell you who. It's not like if you say forwards, I've got fucking.
I didn't hear that. Sorry, say that a little louder, son.
Not like, yeah, we're forwards, where I've got rate loads.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a team now, aren't you? We'll get to that another time anyway.
2-11s at the minute, Jay. The hardest game we're going to have this season is going to be that first training session back when I fucking make them play against each other.
Don't worry, you'll have full commentary on here. On this, well, no, on your channel.
How hard is it to set up your own non-league team?
Me and
it's harder than I thought.
Pundit, me and Pundit Jay, or me and Joe Smith doing a commentary. Peter Kelly in the Super Chat says, United all-time Premier League five-a-side team.
Ronaldo, Scholes, because apparently you don't get the ball off Scholes at five-a-side.
Love that.
That's just, I think.
Yeah.
I want to say Rio, because I think he's more mobile, but I also want to go even more mobile with my defence. I think you've got to have a fullback.
Right. Your mate, Patrice Evra.
It might be Erwin.
No one's going to argue you there.
Because, you know, well, obviously he's short. He can go left foot, right foot.
Yep.
Defensive instincts there. He's quick. He's got a dig on him. And you know, at five-a-side, if someone's got a rocket of a foot on him, which Erwin's got for days,
yeah,
that's hard to deal with. So I'm thinking, Erwin, Scholesy. Who else did I just say? It's got to be Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do on tricks? You're going to launch him, aren't you? Keeper, Van der Sar. I think Schmeichel's too big.
Good lad.
And then one more. Ah, Rooney.
Do you know what? I'm going right with just hardcore five-a-side team. I'm having Stam, Keno, Robbo, Rooney, and I suppose we need a goalkeeper, don't we? So I'll have
Stepney, do Stepney.
Yeah,
European coming up.
I just want a team that's
when it goes off in the car park, your team's
yeah,
sound.
Like, and it will go off in the car park. Trust me. Nate Bennett in the Super Chat says, great show. I became a United supporter in 2011.
MUFC says Scholes was better than Beckham. I disagree.
So I missed the Ronaldo era live. How does Diallo hype compare to Ronaldo hype when he's the same age? It doesn't. I don't think there was this level of hype around Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's a social media thing.
Yeah, that there was. Because you don't forget, in 2003 when we signed Ronaldo, we'd seen him in that game against United.
No, but we hadn't.
All right, some people had. I hadn't. I was in Malia. I was annoyed that we'd signed the wrong Ronaldo when I read it in the paper that we'd signed Ronaldo. I remember saying, typical of our club, that.
How many people got baited with that headline in the back of
the
paper?
That's what he said. United signed Ronaldo, and this is not long after that hat-trick for Real Madrid that we all applauded. So you're like, yes. I was like, yeah, we've signed Ronaldo.
Cristiano? We got him off Wish, lads. Fuck's sake.
That's what it was like, Steve. I was like, fucking state of my club. Fucking shit. Little did I know that he was going to go on to become one of the greatest players in the history of association football. So you never know. But there was one of the greatest players in the history.
One of?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which,
go on.
On today's episode of Fuck Pele.
Oh, go on.
This fucking fraud, Jay.
Right. This is, if you don't know, he's just explained the segment that he's created about 2 months
Fuck
ago.
Fuck Pele.
Yeah. He's not Pele's biggest fan.
No. You can't just make up 1,000 fucking goals. And, oh, it was a friendly. Cool. Well, we don't count pre-season. Are you saying we should count pre-season, Jay? What a load of bollocks. Because otherwise Ronaldo's in 1,000 already.
What's annoyed you this week about...
Right. So I was just on Wikipedia, just looking at World Cups of the 1950s, right?
Right, okay, as you do.
And then it occurred to me that some guy called Vava, who I've never fucking heard of, Vava, across a couple of two fucking World Cups, scored more goals for Brazil than Pele did.
Right, okay.
And there was two World Cups, Jay, where that fucking hard-on pill flogging knobhead scored one goal. One goal.
Right.
The time he scored six in a World Cup, which is a good return, right?
Yeah.
Some French dickhead scored 13.
Was that Justin Fontaine?
It was, yeah, correct.
Yes. So, extensive research by Ste, and yet again he's found a chink in Pele's armour. I'm going to put this out there, Ste.
Fraud.
I think Pele was all right.
How many times was Pele leading scorer in a World Cup, of which he likes to remind everyone he won three of? Not using a team that won three. You contributed about as much as Jonathan fucking Greening did, or as much as John Terry did.
I like escapes of victory, and I think Pele's puts in a decent performance in it. So okay, I'm not quite as...
It's a Hollywood movie, yeah, and about as real as him scoring 1,000 fucking goals.
Well, I think if you check your records, Mr. Housen, he counts the goals that he scored in escapes of victory.
Well, there we go. Not once. Right, three World Cup wins, which means you played for the best team in the world, allegedly, for how many years? And twice you turn up with one goal in a World Cup. This is when half the games were 6-3.
In 62, it was Garrincha, wasn't it? Garrincha was the man. It was Garrincha.
Was he the leading scorer in that World Cup?
He was. I don't know if he was the leading scorer.
Might have been a German fella.
He was the one that made him tick. He was unreal. I think he had two left legs, Garrincha. Like, he was something wrong with him, but just like the most amazingly skillful player probably in the history of football.
Just like,
and was an alcoholic.
Not fucking once.
I think during his playing career.
Did he come away as leading fucking scorer? The fucking fraud.
And that goal that everyone sees in the 1970 World Cup final, anyone can lay that ball. I could do that. He gives his mate sweaty hands out and he bangs it into the bottom corner. He's not even moving. He just sort of stood there like lazy.
Right.
In my opinion.
Let me throw this at you.
Go on.
Team of the World Cup 1958. Harry Gregg was in that.
Rightly so.
The fuck was he doing going to a World Cup 3 months after nearly dying in a plane crash? The
Bobby Charlton went, mate.
Maniac.
Bobby Charlton went to the 1958 World Cup.
Madness.
And it boils my piss because it was like, you remember like before the 2018 World Cup, and people were like, can people stop being mean to Harry Kane on social media? He's got a World Cup coming up. Right. You know what? Bobby Charlton lost half his mates and went to the fucking World Cup.
Harry Gregg
was expected to perform.
Pulled his mates out of burning fucking wreckage.
Yeah, and went to a World Cup a few months later.
Had a week off, back in the fucking team.
Not that I'm advocating trolling players on social media, by the way. I can't stand it. It really annoys me. Yeah, sorry. Someone else says one leg was shorter than the other. Garrincha, one leg was shorter than the other. But he was still the greatest player in the world for a little period until I think he... I'm not taking a piss here, but I think he more or less drank himself out of the game. Stanley Morgan says, oh no, I'm not really. What? Oh.
Stanley Morgan's trying to troll.
Very
good. He's actually 26.
And and he won more titles than Steven Gerrard ever won.
Yeah. Pele was an icon. What the fuck does that mean?
Mr. Hoss said, would Evra get in the 99 team? This is the question for the ages. Irwin or Evra, stay?
Irwin.
You made that bar, didn't you? Because that's what I was going to go with. Okay. I thought you would have gone with your mate.
Okay.
The one that you were hanging around his old cell room.
Irwin. His hotel room's bigger than our office, by the way. Like, a lot bigger than our office. We ain't got a small-sized office. It's just his room was enormous.
That's so meant that. He's such... do you know what? You know what I'm going to say? Ring him.
Trying.
Try harder. Hey. He came on as full-time Devils. He came on your channel. He's been on full-time Devils. Macca interviewed him.
When I did the vlog with him, like, I wonder how many people watched the start of... If you're not seeing it, just go and search Stephen House of Marseille vlog, right? Because that's what I interestingly named it. I wonder how many people are that going. It's literally Steve going watching a fucking match in Marseille.
Hang on a minute. What's going on here? Why is he in his hotel? He was there with him. Oh my God, it's Paddy Evra.
Yeah. Whipped his dick out.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had... we went up to his room because he was wearing a Marseille t-shirt.
Right.
And he was like, let me get this off in case I get in trouble. So he goes upstairs, gets a United t-shirt on, and then we're in his bedroom and he goes, and then just whips his kecks off, throws on some fucking tracky bottoms. You're like, oh, nice penis.
Happy days, not every day you get to see that.
Yeah. And then he's fully off his foot. Fully how you'd expect him to be.
Just seems like a laugh. Like a good laugh. Do you know what I mean? Like
we sat in a bar for the hotel for a while, just having a chat. And the amount of like just random people. Like you've seen famous people, right? Paddy Everett in France is famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And the amount of people, and it was like 70-year-old little ladies, like in ball gowns and shit, just coming up and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, just selfie. Anyway, what was he saying? Hold on, one sec. Selfie. You're like, how you've not lost your rag? I've lost my rag. Like
that's I know it's different levels completely, but that's like Crawley in Manchester, isn't it? Yeah. It is, you know, if you walk down the street van in Manchester, it's a nightmare, isn't it? Like
going from here to the car park over there.
And everyone he meets, he talks to you like they're his best mate. Like
all right, mate.
Oh,
who's that?
How's it going? Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
But like honestly, he's such a nice guy. We'll have to get him back on. We're gonna wrap it up there because I'm getting the curly finger from producer Callum. Everyone who got involved in the chat, we appreciate it. Thanks for super chats. Thanks for all the other chats as well. We've had Stephen Housen, are you on the analysis this weekend for the Newcastle game? You're
here,
aren't you?
Let's say, yeah.
Steve's going to be here. We're going to have, I think, Ryan Hopper. Is he here?
Yep.
Ryan Hopper's going to be here. Adam Cole's going to be here. Joe Smith's going to be here. I think we're going to have Andy Tate's going to be here for his post-match reaction as well. I'll be here for a few bits, wherever they'll have me. If you're not subscribing, make sure you're subscribing to the channel. Check out the members section as well. We've got the thing that he was plugging with all the enthusiasm of a death row inmate.
Yeah, John is a member because we'll do the 1991 campaign watch along.
And we are doing that. Yeah.
So hurry up.
Fully, that is going to
the anniversary's coming up soon, so.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll do it. We'll do it. I'll tell you what. Let's say this. We'll do it with a player. And not like someone who, you know, peeled the half-time oranges. Someone who played every game, right? There's the promise. Up the RH. So I've been Jay. That's been Stephen Housen. This has been Remember When We Were Mint podcast. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.